Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi has been trying for years to end his country's outcast status, and lifting UN sanctions would be a first step. But NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports that U.S. officials believe Gaddafi is still causing trouble in Africa.
It was Ronald Reagan who pulled U.S. oil companies out of Libya and bombed Gaddafi's compound in 1986 after accusing Libya of being behind an attack on a nightclub in Berlin. Reagan famously described the Libyan leader as irrational and flaky.
This mad dog of the Middle East has a goal of a world revolution, Muslim fundamentalist revolution, which is targeted on many of his own Arab compatriots. And where we figure in that, I don't know, maybe we're just the enemy because it's a little like climbing Mount Everest, because we're here.
Despite the verbal and military attacks from the U.S., Colonel Gaddafi is a political survivor, a secular autocrat in power ever since he and other junior officers seized power in a coup back in 1969. David Mack was a political officer in the U.S. Embassy in Libya at the time.
He was a very mercurial figure then, impulsive, extremely intelligent.
But also erratic. Mack, now with the Middle East Institute, says it was hard for U.S. policymakers to comprehend Gaddafi, who he says seemed to lose his train of thought during meetings. Mack says the young colonel did appeal to many Libyans.
They were fascinated by Gaddafi. They were fascinated by somebody who, first of all, was younger by decades than the leaders they had had. He seemed quite modern. He seemed to have a lot of progressive ideas. But also, there was a lot of attraction initially to some of the notions of Arab unity that Gaddafi pushed and pushed very hard in the early years.
But Gaddafi fought with and antagonized his Arab neighbors, according to Mansour El-Kikia, a Libyan exile and professor at the University of Texas San Antonio. El-Kikia says when Gaddafi couldn't dominate the Arab world, he looked to sub-Saharan Africa, promoting his manifesto known as the Green Book.
Like Chairman Mao's small red book, he sees the Green Book as a salvation for humankind. He never believed that Libyans could appreciate his Green Book. And every time they proved that they don't like his Green Book, he would start a foreign adventure somewhere else.
At home, Gaddafi executed or arrested political opponents, including Islamic radicals, and set up what he called a Jamahiriya, a state run by the masses. He claimed in this 1978 BBC interview that he saw no need for opposition parties when the people run the country.
This is an old conventional concept that you're talking about from before the era of the Jamahiriya. Now the people's authority has risen. There isn't a government, so there cannot be an opposition to it.
As Gaddafi cracked down on his opponents at home, he supported rebel movements around the world, from Charles Taylor in Liberia to the IRA and Basque separatists in Europe. John Cooley wrote the book Libyan Sandstorm, the complete account of Gaddafi's revolution. He describes Gaddafi as a lone ranger.
Gaddafi is an opportunist. He looks for areas where he and the wealth of his country will make an impact. And he's had many, many failures and many fiascos.
Cooley was among the reporters in Tripoli when American planes bombed Gaddafi's compound, an attack that killed Gaddafi's young adopted daughter and had a profound impact on the Libyan leader.
We were taken to the compound on the day after the bombing to be shown the damage to Gaddafi's structures there. He had a regular house near the tent, which had been hit, and he disappeared from view. He was obviously very, very frightened by that bombing.
These days, when Gaddafi gives interviews, they're usually at the site of the bombing, a reminder of how his country came under attack. His critics say the Libyan letter to the UN accepting responsibility for the 1988 bombing of Pan Am Flight 103 is far from a real mea culpa, but it is a sign of how eager Gaddafi is to rid himself of his pariah status and get out from under years of sanctions. According to author John Cooley, he's also promoting one of his sons as a future leader of Libya. Cooley says that unlike his flamboyant father with his colorful robes and female bodyguards, Saif al-Islam Gaddafi is well-mannered, well-dressed, and now a well-known figure in Europe.
Saif al-Islam incidentally means sword of Islam. His European education and fact that, for example, he paints and he's showed his paintings in a number of European capitals shows that he's really trying to reconnect Libya with the West. And this is something that his father would never have been able to do.
Analysts who do believe Gaddafi is a change man point out that he has begun distancing himself from radical Palestinian groups and was among the first to condemn the September 11th attacks on the U.S. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.